The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing on the other side of the glass today. Tom, I don't know about you, but I've just about had it with the mid-90s. It's mid-October. We're going like about 10 degrees above normal here. It should
yes,
be in
sir.
The 80s.
So. I'm with you.
All right.
I'm ready for October to officially get here.
There you go. All right. Maybe it will one of these days. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, October the 12th, 2017, coming to you from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and the station's fine website, kvoi.com. Podcasts, the complete Buckmaster Show archive, really the whole portfolio, available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show live line is open for you, 790-2040. For your calls and questions and comments, the Buckmaster Show contributor on health, and we're very proud that she is, Dr. Victoria Mazes, Executive Director of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine. She is a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. Dr. Mazes is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine. She is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She is the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mazes. Dr. Mazes joining us on the live line. Victoria, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing very well. And women will be very interested in this new information that has come out, a new study, and it was a huge study, and it went on quite a while, finding that up to 7 years of hormone replacement therapy is safe for postmenopausal women.
Yes, so this new article about this research, which comes from the Women's Health Initiative, so that's a study of 27,000
wow.
women. That's a lot of women. It has been going on for a long time. Actually, this particular publication that just came out last week follows women for 18 years.
Wow.
And what has been shown is that when you look at women who were randomized to get hormones or didn't get hormones, there's no difference in overall mortality. And that may sound insignificant, but actually it's quite significant because back many years ago, in 2000, these studies were stopped early because there was a worry that there was an increased risk of breast cancer and stroke. And so the studies were stopped. And as the women have been followed over the years, just to see over time what happens, the fact that there's no increase in mortality for whether you took these hormones or didn't is actually a significant finding.
So for decades now, there has been this kind of shifting research findings on the risks and possible benefits of hormone replacement therapy.
That's exactly right. And women take hormone replacement therapy usually because they're having a difficult menopausal transition. So they may have symptoms like hot flashes or night sweats. Some women have difficulty sleeping. They may have a sense that they're not thinking as clearly or that their mood is shifting. And it affects women's quality of life, sometimes significantly. And when women have all of these symptoms for decades, one of the ways to approach it has been to use hormone therapy until this finding that came out, which suggested that there could be an increased risk of breast cancer, an increased risk of stroke, and women in droves went off of these therapies. But some of those findings were questioned, and they were questioned because in the study, about two-thirds of the women were in their 60s and 70s when they were put on these medicines, as opposed to at menopause, which would be usually in their early 50s.
And how will this, how will healthcare providers now take this information? What really does it mean for the health consumer? What should they know about which way to navigate what has been kind of a confusing subject?
Yeah, great question. So, for some time, we have been telling women that if they are having a difficult menopausal transition with the symptoms I mentioned, that one possible way to address it is hormones. But we've said be very careful that you don't take these hormones too long, because over a five-year period, they start to increase your risk of bad outcomes. And I think now we're going to feel more comfortable, especially treating these women at the menopausal transition in their 50s. I think it also helps remind us that to put women who maybe haven't been on hormones for many years, you know, they're now in their 60s or 70s, there doesn't appear to be a benefit. It doesn't appear that it reduces their risk of heart disease or dementia. And so we're not going to suggest it for those reasons. It'll really be, this is a pretty safe approach if you're having a difficult menopausal transition.
And even for women who begin menopause earlier than what would traditionally be considered, as you say, in the mid-40s, I mean, menopause could start earlier than that, and does,
yes.
Doesn't it?
Yes, it can. And the average age in the U.S. is 52, but for some women, they do start much earlier. And actually, there, the practice has been that we recommend that women do go on hormones, because we have a concern if you, for example, you have a surgical menopause, you're 38 and you have a hysterectomy and you have your ovaries out, that that could be too long over your full lifetime to be without the hormones that we know also contribute to heart health and to bone health. And so if your menopause is really early, it's probably likely that your physician is going to recommend that you take hormones at least until you're 50 or 52, and then consider whether you would stay on them for a bit longer or not.
Is there some kind of a natural approach to this?
Great question. So, yes, there are non-hormonal treatments, a whole wide range of them. Sometimes hormones are contraindicated. So a woman, for example, who had high blood pressure would be at greater risk. A woman who'd had breast cancer would be at increased risk. And we would say, no, it's probably not a good idea for you to take hormones. So in those women, there's a whole wide range of other things that can be done. For example, there are dietary supplements. One is called black cohosh that has been shown to be helpful for managing hot flashes and some of the aches and pains and difficulties. People sometimes use traditional Chinese medicine, and acupuncture has been studied and shown to be helpful in reducing hot flashes. There's the kind of slowing your breath rate. We sometimes call it paced respiration, where you're activating your diaphragm and doing deep in and out, slow, regular breathing. That can reduce hot flashes. For some women, increasing soy foods in their diet can help. So there's a whole wide range of other things that can be done as well.
And this is a question coming from a guy, and I'm curious, are hot flashes normal?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, there's a great diversity of the experience that women have at the time of menopause. Some women essentially barely even notice it. Some months will go by and they'll think, I haven't had a menstrual period in a long time, and they have essentially no other symptoms. And then there's the continuum to women who have really significant and severe symptoms. So I would say that, yes, hot flashes are normal and typical during the menopausal transition, but that doesn't mean that everybody experiences them or that everyone's particularly bothered by them. It may be a cultural thing. For example, there are societies that have what we call blood taboos, and women are really limited in their societal role when they're menstruating, and then after menopause, when they no longer menstruate, they actually have increased freedom. In those places, women actually see menopause as a positive life change, and they typically don't report any symptoms. So it probably has more than one influence. Some women talk about hot flashes as power surges. So I think different people hold the experience differently and may or may not be bothered by this sensation of a hot flash.
All right, we're going to switch gears when we take after we take the break. Dr. Mazes will stick around, 790-2040. If you would like to join in the conversation, we'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
What is Zauschneria? Come find out at Tonachule's Fall Plant Sale. Tonachule's Fall Plant Sale will have an extensive offering of both the typical and the unusual, from native, cold, hardy, and adopted plants, from agaves to Zauschneria. Make plans to attend Saturday, October the 14th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday the 15th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The plant sale is located in the propagation area at 7211 Northern Avenue, the first street west of Ina and Oracle intersection. For more information, visit tonachule.org.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, Downtown Tucson Partnership CEO Kathleen Erickson. The roundtable features Jim Nintzel of The Weekly and Joe Ferguson of the Arizona Daily Star. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and on the live line is the Buckmaster Show contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is the executive director of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine. She's also a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. Dr. Mazes, the 2017 Nobel Prize in Medicine has been awarded to three American researchers for their study into the mechanisms, the molecular mechanisms controlling the body's, basically our body clock, the circadian rhythm. This is kind of interesting research, especially since they were coming up with their research based on fruit flies.
Yes, they studied fruit flies, and they were able to isolate a gene that seems to be important in our circadian rhythm. And circadian rhythms are interesting because it's not only humans that have them. Obviously, it's fruit flies, but it's also plants and animals. And a lot of our life and our health actually may be impacted by these circadian rhythms.
And how do you explain, could you explain to our listeners what in effect is our biological clock?
Sure. So it's basically this approximately 24-hour cycle that governs many, many different parts of our biology. So it governs our brainwave activity, our hormone production, when our cells regenerate themselves. A couple of interesting things that your listeners may or may not be aware of. Testosterone levels in men and in women are highest first thing in the morning.
Huh.
Also, first thing in the morning is the most common time that people have heart attacks. And they're actually, very serious heart attacks. So, when you know certain things like this, that can lead you to make a variety of different kinds of health recommendations.
And for those of us that travel and love to travel, of course, jet lag plays into this as well, doesn't it?
Yes. So when you travel, you're now in a new time zone and, you haven't made a gradual change the way if perhaps you were traveling by ship or horseback or, ways that we traveled in the past. But now you can go 10 hours or 12 hours to a new time zone on an airplane, and your body has this real discomfort. And anyone who's experienced jet lag knows how that feels, which is just foggy and really eager to be in bed even though it's the middle of the day, and the opposite, in the middle of the night can't sleep because your body still believes that it's daylight hours. And there are things one can do to help with jet lag.
And then it seems like every traveler has a different story about about what works for them. Going from America over to Europe, I have found it is best, even though you want to go to sleep when you first arrive, but to kind of force yourself to stay up to the evening hour and the bedtime in that particular time zone.
I think that that's accurate. As much as one can be awake, in the daytime of the new place, that's going to be best. If you need a little nap, you can consider that. But being out in bright light helps reset your clock. So one of the things that is often recommended is first thing in the morning, go outside, expose yourself to bright light. Another thing that can be very helpful from the integrative medicine perspective is melatonin. Melatonin is the dietary supplement. It's actually a neurological hormone, and you can use this and take it about a half hour before bedtime, and that also helps reset your clock. And then there's other common sense things. You know, don't get dehydrated on a flight. Don't drink too much alcohol or too much caffeine. And make sure you drink plenty of water.
Let's go back to this research, this award-winning research, where the researchers studied fruit flies in which a gene seemed to control this circadian rhythm. And when it was mutated, the fruit flies lost that rhythm.
Yes. So, you know, this is one of the things that scientists can sometimes do is find an animal model and really begin to learn how this may work in humans. So I'm not a gene researcher, but my understanding is that there was actually a gene that coded for a protein that accumulated in cells at night and was degraded during the day, and that this appeared to shape that internal clock, that circadian rhythm.
And how might this, then, of course, the big question will be, how will this translate into our lives, into humans?
Well, I think that that's a really important question. Just give you one example. I mentioned that certain diseases might be more prominent during the day and certain hormones might be different. But one of the things that's being looked at is something called chronotherapy, which is when you time your treatment for the time of day when it may be most effective. And so, for example, this is being done by some cancer researchers where they're giving chemotherapy at the times of day when it may be most effective.
Hmm. And how would they determine that again? How would they determine that particular time?
Well, that has to be done with research, but it is timed in some ways to match some of the other biological or hormonal changes that we know are going on in the body. And so, you know, that's one of the things that would be helpful.
And it was interesting looking over some of the researchers and the research that didn't win the award, and I'm sure there were some pretty unhappy people about that, but some investigators that were up for the award had discovered the genes, their research was the genes predisposed to cancer, and that's kind of a cutting-edge area, isn't it, right now in cancer?
It is, and actually there are starting to be some genetic therapies, genetic treatments for people with cancer, and they're limited to a very, very few conditions at this point, but I think there's no question that that's some of the future of cancer therapy in the world, being able to really target the genetic abnormality that's found and change that gene. And some of that research is just being done in fascinating ways, including inactivating and using the HIV or the AIDS virus to create this new genetic response.
Let's talk a little bit about where we are right now in integrative medicine. Of course, the University of Arizona Bay Center for Integrative Medicine, and you and your colleague, Dr. Andrew Weil, have been really at the forefront of this area. Where are we right now in really what has become the spread of integrative medicine across this country and around the world?
Well, happily, it is spreading and gaining in its popularity. I think it was long popular with the public, but it is also becoming more and more established in medical schools and nursing schools and schools of pharmacy. So it's become a very important movement within the university settings and academic medicine, and I think that's just terrifically exciting. And one thing I'm proud of here at the University of Arizona is we have a distinction track. So you can graduate from the School of Medicine with distinction in integrative medicine. And last year, 15% of the class elected to do that. It's a very rigorous course of study across all 4 years of medical school. So that's exciting. We also have begun an interprofessional course called the Foundations of Integrative Health, and that has been in our colleges of nursing, pharmacy, public health, and medicine. So working across all of the different health science Center campus. And again, that bodes well because I think more and more we will practice medicine in a team-based format.
We had a quick question from a listener who did not want to go on the air, but it's a pretty good question about holistic medicine, which has been kind of around for a long time. The listener was wondering, how is integrative medicine different from holistic medicine, and is holistic medicine one of the foundations of integrative medicine?
Well, I definitely think that there's overlap in those two words. Integrative medicine is, I would say, the preferred term at this point. It is the one that has gained credibility across the scientific medical community in that it is committed to evidence and to understanding what the evidence is for the various recommendations that we make. And so I suspect that we'll see less of the term holistic as we move into the future, but there's no question that it was one of the foundational pillars as integrative medicine was developing and continues to be, that commitment to look at the whole person, mind, body, and spirit.
And of course, you need to be a good consumer along the way, right?
Yes, you have to really be discerning. Yes. The good news is there's now board certification in integrative medicine, so you can find out if the person you're going to see has done a course of study substantial enough to be eligible for sitting for those boards and then passing those boards.
All right, Dr. Victoria Mazes, we appreciate the time. Thank you. Always a pleasure.
My pleasure.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Victoria Mazes, who is the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health. She's the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about Dr. Mazes on her website, Victoria Mazes, that's MAIZESMD.com, or you can follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mazes. Be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Green Things. Green Things, your place for all things green, and it has been for many years. It is our go-to nursery. We always make sure we go to Green Things because they pretty much got everything you need, from 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palm trees and desert trees. Green Things has it all on the 13 acres, 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road and at the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Also, Silver City is one of our fine sponsors. Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, makes a great weekend getaway or longer. It's just 3 hours east of Tucson and usually about 15 degrees cooler. So check it out at Silver City. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for the full listing of the places to stay and the many things to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We're going to find out about the U of A football team here during this half hour. They've got a big game coming up, U of A football playing UCLA, and that's going to be a big game Saturday at the Arizona Stadium. It will be a Wildcat family weekend over at Arizona Stadium. The kickoff is at 6 p.m. The tailgate lots will open up at noon, and the Coca-Cola Fan Fiesta will begin at 2 p.m. The Wildcat Walk will be at 3:45, and then the gates will open at 4:30. This is a pretty big game for Arizona because suddenly there is a lot of interest in University of Arizona football. Arizona football coming off a historic game with Khalil Tate rushing for 327 yards in the win versus Colorado. Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show contributor on Wildcat Sports, Anthony Jimeno. He's covered Wildcat football and basketball for two decades, including covering football for the Arizona Daily Star and TucsonCitizen.com, most recently providing sports content for KOLD-TV on their website, TucsonNewsNow.com. And, of course, his latest venture is All Sports, Tucson.com. Anthony, how are you?
Doing good. How about you, Bill?
Doing well. So a lot of people are interested in what's going to happen here with the Wildcats. I think they're wondering, obviously, was this kind of a one-hit wonder with Mr. Tate, quarterback Tate?
That's a fair question. That's a good question. We have never really seen anything like it. I mean, he set a national record for rushing yards by a quarterback, and he looked fabulous. Questions remain. Now, in the short term, Khalil Tate has certainly given Tucsonans a reason to pay attention to Arizona football. I mean, I think for Arizona, it couldn't have worked out better. You've got a little bit of buzz about the team for the first time in a while. You have a game against UCLA coming up. It's family weekend. It's a 6 o'clock kickoff. The weather's going to be perfect. So if all those circumstances coming together can't get you excited for one day for Arizona football, you're probably not going to ever get excited for Arizona football. But he's got a lot to prove. It's really the same question that we had about Brandon Dawkins. If the other team is really stopping the run, and Colorado couldn't stop Arizona's run game, obviously, certainly couldn't stop Tate, can he be an effective enough passer to win the game? And the thing is, we've seen Brandon Dawkins not be able to do that time and time again over the past season and a half. Khalil's got a better arm than Brandon. He might have better touch, but we just haven't seen that from Khalil Tate. If the running game's not there, can he pass the team to victory? Maybe he can, maybe he can't, but I think the fun is finding out what the answer is, because he's got a much higher ceiling. I mean, this kid could be really, really special. I mean, he did something nobody else has ever done. He did more than any other quarterback has ever run. And he looked great. That didn't look like a fluke. There were some big holes there for sure, but he made a lot of his own yards. He looks like an All-American running back when he has the ball in his hand.
And then you got the UCLA quarterback, Rosen, who the NFL scouts are drooling over. So this is kind of like two kind of showcase quarterbacks suddenly Saturday.
Yeah, that's another great reason for people to be interested on Saturday night. Josh Rosen comes in. He's a junior now. I don't know if he'll be the number one pick in the draft, because there's certainly other quarterbacks, one in his very city at USC, who might be that number one pick. But he has all the tools. He was probably the most highly rated quarterback recruit, I want to say, in the last several years, probably since Andrew Luck went to Stanford. So there's always been a lot of buzz about him. And the only negative from a UCLA perspective about him is he's been turnover prone. Sometimes he tries to do a little too much. He falls in love with his arm a little too much, and he'll make some bad throws. So I think turnovers, as always, will be a very telling part of what should be a very high-scoring game, because Josh Rosen can be turnover-prone at times, and we don't know yet exactly what Khalil Tate will do in a full game. When the other team has a full week to game plan for him, when Khalil has to prepare mentally all week as the starting quarterback, and he had one start last year against USC, which, okay, we'll kind of give him a pass because USC was really good last year, but in his one start, he wasn't very secure with the ball. So turnovers, either way, with the quarterbacks will probably have a lot to say about the outcome of Saturday's game.
All right. Anthony Jimeno, should be a great game on Saturday, and we'll look for your work at All Sports Tucson. Also want to direct people to my website, buckmastershow.com, the first portion of our interview with the U of A president, the first 15 minutes of the show. He spoke rather candidly, as candidly as he can, about this scandal involving the University of Arizona. I think it's worth a listen, Anthony.
Bill, I'm going to get off the phone and listen to it right now.
I want you to. I want you to.
I just got too busy to get to it.
I know.
All right. I'm going to get to it.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Anthony.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. We'll take our break right here on the Buckmaster Show. When we come back, our CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated. Be right back.
Hi, this is Jeff with Enhance Openings, Windows, Doors, and More. Did you know windows, doors, and skylights are about 30% of all the wall and ceiling areas of your home, but waste up to 80% of all your home's utility bills? Enhance Openings is Tucson's Pella Select wholesale installation company. We'll save you money on Pella products and on installation.
Text the word Pella to 313131 and get free installation. Or call 686-5617, ROC CR6030585. EnhanceOpenings.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Time for our CEO interview series on the program presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated, a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. The CEO-driven regional alliance has helped to drive significant business investment into Tucson and Southern Arizona region through the primary job creation, resulting in 144 company relocations and expansions and an economic impact, get this, over $22 billion. For more information about Southern Arizona's economic engine, go to suncorridorinc.com. Joining us now on the live line is David Adami. Mr. Adami is president and CEO of Chicanos Por La Causa, one of the largest nonprofit community development corporations in the Southwest, with a very rich history that actually dates back, Mr. Adami, to 1969, I believe, and Cesar Chavez had kind of an influence in your founding. Isn't that true? Welcome, by the way, sir.
Thank you, and appreciate being on the show. Yes, we started in the late 60s. It was kind of the civil rights movement, if you will, and our young leaders at the time were working with Cesar Chavez and was learning from him about how to do organizing, how to do it peacefully. And at that time, the quick story is our leaders at that time organized a walkout of the big Phoenix Union High School here in Phoenix in those days, and it was one of the biggest in the country at that time. And they did three walkouts, a one-day one, a one-week one, and finally after the one-month one, they were brought to the negotiating table, and they said, well, there's something to this peaceful protest, if you will, to try to get things done and work together. And that takes us back to our roots and why we're involved in education and other things as we've grown to a, you know, 850-strong staff, doing work in economic development, doing work in healthcare, doing work in education, and doing work in housing and other real estate.
Mr. Adami, your organization, one of the more recent investors into the Sun Corridor Board of Directors. Why did you want to have a presence at the table, a seat at the table, if you will, for this economic development organization?
Well, I became CEO a little over a year and a half ago, and I'd always wanted to make sure that we were doing more in our Southern Arizona offices. We have about 120 staff, give or take, in the Tucson metro area, and I wanted to do more. So one way we felt that we could do it, working with our economic development arm and our real estate arm, was to get involved with Sun Corridor. So we reached out to Joe Snell and talked about it, and we felt it was a good fit. You know, we're doing work where we're trying to grow businesses. We invest in businesses because we're a community development financial institution, and that's a U.S. Treasury designation. So we don't take deposits, but we can make debt loans, we can make equity investments, we can help with real estate or help coordinate with real estate. So we felt with all the great things going on, you know, I'd been working with Tucson Mayor Rothschild and the Tech Center, and you know, most recently there was an agreement between University in Israel, Ben-Gurion, and the big university down in Mexico City and U of A. And we were already working with the big university in Mexico City and other partners in Mexico to try to recruit companies wanting to expand into the United States. Our first company that we're supporting, which we're going to have a celebration, they're actually moving to Phoenix, but we're working on some to concentrate on Tucson, is a company from a manufacturing company from the state of Guerrero in Mexico, and it's a manufacturing of plastics that support shipping and wrappings and those types of things. But to answer your question, we feel that there's a great opportunity. Tucson is such a great location. It's a hub to work internationally, especially with Latin American countries, and we feel that we can build economic opportunities. You know, our vision is empowered lives, and part of the way you empower lives is through economic empowerment and getting them jobs and trainings and opportunities is what we want to do. So I'm excited about being, you know, a new member of Sun Corridor, and I know we're going to make big impact.
David Adami is with us, and he is talking about Chicanos Por La Causa and the work they do. They're, of course, a nonprofit, and I wonder how do the nonprofits make a big difference in kind of changing the landscape, not only in helping people, but in that economic development area? We don't usually think of nonprofits in that traditional role, Mr. Adami.
Yeah, we like to call ourselves, yes, for IRS purposes, we are a nonprofit, of course.
Uh-huh.
But right. We like to refer to ourselves as a community development corporation. And what that means is, you know, we operate like any other business. We look for opportunities to leverage resources, obtain resources that maybe a for-profit couldn't have access to, whether that's government dollars or foundation dollars. But at the same time, our strategy is self-sufficiency. So as an organization, we want to be as self-sufficient to model that as well with our constituents. So we, of our $80 million this year is our budget this year, we generate about 55% of that ourselves. The rest of it is, you know, government resources that we get access to, some foundation money. But our goal is to move that even to a higher, more than 55%, because we bring different resources to the table. We bring different ideals to the table. We, for example, I mentioned the Mexico stuff, how we're working with bringing relationships with Mexico. We have great board members. You know, you can't forget about them. You know, I have board members that sit on major corporations. You know, I sit on the Arizona-Mexico Commission that Governor Ducey appointed me to. So it's a different sector that people forget about that, again, we're just nonprofit from an IRS standpoint, but we can bring resources. In our case, you know, there's some advantages. You know, we are a great brand when it comes to the Hispanic market, so companies looking to, you know, engage with the Hispanic market for business purposes, we're definitely a good partner to work with. We've done third-party studies in our brand. But again, we're trying to come up with value propositions. We're not looking for the handout, and that's our mantra. It's a hand up, not a handout. Mm-hmm. And when somebody asked me from a corporation, for example, you know, we were working with United Healthcare recently, and when they asked me, "Well, David, how can I help you, the community?" I said, "Well, let's have a whiteboard session and let's strategize how you're trying to grow your business, how you're trying to improve healthcare outcomes, and then we can bring our programs. You know, we're behavioral health providers." We can leverage other nonprofits that bring, you know, diabetic food boxes, not just regular food boxes, work other partners that we work with, because we think in abundance, where if we all work together, we can bring different, I call it the stone soup theory, right? We can bring different ingredients, whether it's something to help companies' workforce or the workforce that they're interested in looking for housing. We're involved in housing. And so it's all that wraparound services. You know, the new fancy buzzword is all the social determinants, the social ecology. We have 34 programs under our four focus areas that I mentioned earlier, and that's a different package that we bring to the table when we can partner with folks. I'll give you an example of what we're doing with a large international company. They're France-based. They're headquartered in Chicago, and it's called Transdev, and they do bus services. So when they came into our market, they reached out to us and said, "How can you help us?" And it wasn't just about having, you know, a local nonprofit involved. We work with them innovatively to say, "Well, why don't we structure something that is economically advantageous for the bus drivers to be our employees? We'll lease them back to the entity because we can provide better health care benefits because we have more employees than you do coming into this market." So there's different ways. And one of the ways we're going to look to work with the city and Pima County and Southern Arizona, because we're in Nogales and working in Douglas and doing in other Southern Arizona cities, is bringing all our resources to the table and helping to recruit companies, whether it's from other states or whether it's from internationally, from Latin America. That's the unique part about us, and people don't normally think about the nonprofit sector that way.
No, and you mentioned the brand, and certainly now 50 years, coming up on 50 years here, you've got the brand, and people do know of your organization. Is it now region? Are you into the whole Southwest, how does that work? What is your footprint?
Our footprint is where our mainstay is Arizona.
Right.
But we have, in the last 6 years, we expanded into Nevada and we expanded into New Mexico. It was during the time when the recession, when other nonprofits across the region were struggling to survive during the recession. And because of our model of self-sufficiency, we were still strong because we weren't dependent on the government or other things like that. So we were able to look at opportunities and partner with other groups and bring them into our fold. But our vision is that we're going to ultimately, you know, within the next 10, 15 years, my goal is that we're in 7 states in the Southwest. That would include all the 4 states that border Mexico, and then Nevada, Utah, and Colorado is our vision of expansion.
David Adami has been talking with us. David and Chicanos por la Casa. David is the CEO and one of the newest investors in the Sun Corridor Inc. Board of Directors, Southern Arizona's economic engine. Do you like this relationship with Sun Corridor?
No, I love it. And again, looking at nonprofit, you know, we paid the same price. You know, we're not looking for a handout. So, you know, to become a member, there is a fee. But I think the opportunity to partner with Sun Corridor and all the other members of Sun Corridor is just a tremendous opportunity for us to make collective impact. And I'm excited to be working with Joe Snell and his team. And I know that in a rather short time, we're going to be having some celebrations, ribbon cuttings, and things to be cheering about, because the economy's, you know, overall good. There's opportunities for growth, and we bring a unique opportunity. You know, we're not Amazon, but we're bringing, you know, the smaller. I'm gonna use the baseball analogy since you were talking sports earlier.
Yeah, I was.
I'm gonna do the singles, right? I'm gonna bring the 50 job companies and
consistent hitter. You get on base. There you go, David.
There you go.
David, thank you very much for joining us talking about Chicanos por la Casa. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks a lot. David Adami with Chicanos por la Casa, our Sun Corridor Inc. interview series presented by Sun Corridor. You can find out more. Go to their website. We encourage you to do so. SunCorridorInc.com. That's going to do it for the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow we talk about downtown redevelopment. Kathleen Erickson, the CEO, coming up on her one-year anniversary. We'll find out what's going on there. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening. See you tomorrow.